I'd like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting to order. March 5th at 10 a.m. First item on the agenda is a roll call.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congressman Big Horse? Congresswoman Edwards? Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Congressman Potts?
Present.
I did receive word from Congressman Big Horse. He's with his family this morning, so he will not be able to attend. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Congressman Walker, will you please pray?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the pretty weather, Lord. Just want to thank you for the opportunity to serve the Osage people, the government, and those that we serve, Lord. I just ask that you look over us, be with us as we conduct the business of the Osage Nation, Lord, and just look over those that are sick or in mourning. Lord, there is a national crisis, the coronavirus, Lord. I just ask that you protect us and you take care of that, Lord. I just, again, want to pray for those that are needing you and searching for you, Lord. And anyway, I just ask for forgiveness for our sins, Lord. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Page 2, motion to recommend down at the bottom. It's showing a vote of 6 yeas and 0 nays. But it right previous to that, it says a member left the meeting. So I'm wondering if that count should be 5 and 0.
Okay. Thank you. Although it does say she returned to the meeting at 11:31, so we may need to go back and listen to that to see if it was a yes vote.
Okay, I just see a conflict in the meetings there, so however they want to handle that. Did I say meetings? I meant minutes.
I'm just wondering if Congresswoman Stabler returned to the meeting before the vote was closed. Should that be moved to the top? So
okay.
It would read, Congresswoman Stabler left the meeting, or returned to the meeting at 11:20, left the meeting at 11:28, and then returned at 11:31. I can have them go back and listen to the audio. Do you have any recollection?
I'm sorry, I don't have a recollection.
Understand. Congresswoman Stabler.
On page 2, ONCA 2006, the figure is wrong. The appropriation states 99,950, and it was actually 104,950.
Welcome.
Mr. Chairman?
Congresswoman Edwards.
Do I understand that there's no WebEx today because I've been trying to get on it?
Correct.
And there's no Zoom?
Correct.
Okay. Sorry, I'm late. I'm trying to log in on Zoom. On both of them, actually.
Okay. We can note that Congresswoman Edwards is present. Congresswoman Stabler.
OK, Okay, just below that, I mean, yes, motion to report shows 5 yeas and 0 nays. Now, I returned on at 11:31, and there's no note as who might have left. And the motion to adopt right before that was 6-0. Oh, there is a note below that that Congresswoman Edwards noted she would not participate in the vote concerning ONCA 2006. So maybe that's it.
Move to approve the minutes of November 19th as amended.
Motion is there, a second?
Second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of the approving the minutes as amended, please signify by saying yes.
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 Opposed? Yes. Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is a conference call with REDW, who is the auditor of the nation. We do have Mr. Mike Dearlam on the phone with us. Thank you for joining us today, Mike. At this point, I'll kind of just turn this over to Mr. Dearlam. And
what's the last name? I'm not understanding.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, it's Dearlam?
That's correct. D-I-E-R-L-A-M.
Okay, thank you.
Hope everyone's doing well this morning. Thank you, members of the committee, for getting me on the agenda today. Again, I'm Mike Dearlam. Our firm's name is REDW, or the New External Auditors for the Nation. So we're working on the tribal government audit currently. And part of auditing requirements is having some early planning or mid-audit communication with those charged with governance. So that's the purpose of this meeting. We'll still be having an exit conference when we're on site and go over the results of the audit at a later date. But this is just a required planning communication, and just wanted to cover sort of where we're at and some of that required communication. So just as a quick update, again, I'm the audit manager on the engagement. Chris Tyhurst is the engagement principal. He unfortunately is traveling today and couldn't be on the call and asked me to handle this meeting. Just as part of the status update, part of our annual audit involves what's called a single audit, which is essentially the audit of the federal awards. And just so everyone's on the same page, we actually have three major programs or three grants that were part of our audit process this year for the federal awards. And those three programs were the Child Support Enforcement Program, Indian Self-Determination Health Clinic-related program, and the Indian Housing Block Grant. So we were actually on site early in the year in January performing our single audit procedures, and that was actually completed earlier this year. So the audit of the federal awards is complete, and I'm happy to say it was a clean audit. There were no instances of non-compliance or control related issues as it relates to the administration of the federal awards. Good news there, and that portion of the audit, the single audit, has been completed. We're still in progress for the financial statement audit. That's an audit of all the funds and tracking of assets, liabilities, revenues, expenditures for all the tribe's major funds that administer those federal awards. So the general fund, any grants and contract. Related funds as well are included in the scope of that audit. So that's in progress now, and our timeline is to hope to be near completion of that audit towards the end of March. We're working with finance currently to obtain the necessary support and perform our procedures and work on drafting of the financial statement. Some of our required pre-audit regards our objectives of the audit. So, of course, we're attempting to plan and perform the audit to obtain what we, the firm is a reasonable assurance regarding the financial statements, that they're free from material misstatements. We also do a lot of work on the nation's internal controls, managing the control process, and what's occurring in finance and other departments to assist in creating and preparing accurate financial statements. We also do a lot of risk assessment and inquire regarding any fraud or related risk that we may not be aware of as external independent third party. With that in mind, I would ask that any members of the committee, I hope my information can be shared within this group, my email and phone number if possible. And if there are any concerns of that nature regarding fraud or misappropriation of assets, I'd ask that this group please get in touch with the auditors to communicate that and discuss that further language. We do attempt to keep our independence with respect to the nation and do our due diligence as independent auditors performing these services. And again, our primary objective is again to prepare and have an opinion on the state of those financial statements. And then another thing we cover is management responsibilities. So management responsibilities, those overseeing the financial records, and that would primarily be the accounting and finance department. That group's responsibility to establish and maintain those internal controls, identify and ensure compliance with relevant laws and regulations, of course, to safeguard the nation's assets, and also make reasonable, sound accounting estimates when appropriate. Again, the remaining timeline of our audit is to hopefully have the nation's governmental audit near completion for the end of this month, and of course, that will require the cooperation and timely support provided by the finance department, but we're making good progress now, and again, hope to be complete there with the governmental audit near the end of this month. Later on in the spring or possibly early summer, we plan on completing the tribe-wide or the nationwide audit, which includes all the component units and business type activities, which are included in nationwide audit report. And again, that will be a little bit later in the year, but hopefully not too far down the line, just depending on when some of those other entities are ready and prepared for audit. The one other communication we have is that there are any specific requests or concerns that anyone part of the nation's governance or part of this committee would like to communicate to auditors as we're working through the audit, that I'd open the floor if anyone has any comments, concerns, or requests for the auditors.
Okay. We'll open the floor. Are there any questions from the committee? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes. Mr. Dearlum. Maria Whitehorn here. One thing I've asked in the past of our auditors, but usually post-audit, and maybe I have pre-audit, I realize now that you're looking at that you've done the single audit of the federal programs, now you're looking more towards our processes for how we handle our internal controls and stuff. One of the questions that I've always had of an auditor is, in order for you guys to make a good decision on our internal processes, what do you guys use for guidance? Do you actually review Osage law that says what specific funds or accounting, the way the account should be kept? Is that what your company does? Do you refer to Osage law when you do this?
current. So if I can ask, you know, rephrase the question, you're asking,
please. Somewhat, yes, thank you.
Any other questions from the committee?
I have a question.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Shannon Edwards. So when you talk about looking at Osage law and looking for compliance with Osage law, so are you looking at the appropriation law that has been passed? Is that something you're utilizing as Osage law with respect to appropriation?
I guess when I say Osage law, and I should clarify this, is we're primarily looking at the approved policies and procedures. So if it's
okay, but those aren't law.
Okay. So I guess is there specific guidance or laws, appropriation laws that we should be obtaining and reviewing to ensure that that compliance is occurring?
I mean, for example, you're talking about financials and to make sure that the financials track the law. We do have terms that are not terms of art, but they are defined in Osage laws, and they are accounting terms and they are budgetary terms. So that's when I refer to Osage law, that's one of the things I'm referring to are the actual laws that define appropriation.
Okay. So typically when it comes to appropriation budgeting, outside of the scope of a financial statement and single audit, if there is significant non-compliance or if negligence to follow tribal law is not adhered to, typically we want that communicated to the auditor so we can look into that. If it suggests that there is a lacking in control there, it warrants reporting as some sort of control. trying to ensure that compliance to specific tribal laws. When I say compliance from a single audit perspective, we're predominantly talking about compliance with federal requirements in how grants and federal funding are spent. So that would be uniform guidance requirements. However, if there are concerns from this group regarding the compliance with OSAGE budgetary or appropriation law, that can be communicated to auditors where we can review that and determine if that was followed or not. And if warranted, it could potentially be something that would be an audit report as a significant deficiency or material weakness with the established law or policies and procedures.
Does the scope of your engagement not include the tribal funding that is spent to the tune of $45 million plus a year?
It absolutely does. So that's part of the financial statement audit. But again, that's going to be ensuring that the financial numbers are accurate, that they report accurately, and appropriate policies and procedures are in place to ensure that those numbers are accurately recorded on the financial statement. The budgetary process is more internal and possibly more of an internal audit area.
Okay. Well, I'll write to you more about it, but what I'm having trouble with at this time is looking at the financial statements as distributed to us and trying to match those up by terminology, by definition, with the money that was appropriated and not having them match. So, for example, if I'm looking for the direct assistance that was appropriated and looking on the financial statement and trying to match that up with, how much direct assistance is shown in the financial statement, they don't match. So I can't track them.
Oftentimes financial statements, the draft informal financial statements, they're not designed to assist in individuals tracking and ensuring that budgets were complied with or followed. Typically, that's more internal record keeping because, again, financial and accounting requirements, language, terminology, classification of expenses may differ than how internally budgets are being prepared, submitted, and approved. But I'd be more than happy to get more information from you on that, and we can certainly add some audit steps or procedures that we can perform to clarify or provide additional insight to what's occurring, and possibly even recommend a solution to improve the communication ability to follow those expenditures you're trying to track.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
And that's kind of where I would like to bring up a topic of discussion as well. It's kind of along the same lines of consistency of terminology, and I understand what you're saying of the difference between how things are accounted for versus audit language and all these things. I picked up the most recent audit that I could find at my desk immediately from 2006, and what I'm seeing at the top of a statement of revenue and expenditures, it lists a Department of Housing and Urban Development, Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Interior, Department of Transportation, a Department of Agriculture, as part of our government funds. And I think one of the things that I need to see in an audit is that we don't have those typical structures that you're going to see in a government. And I think I'm more than happy to provide this page that I'm talking about, but it's been consistent from audit to audit, to my knowledge, of the use of how these things are accounted for or reported in an audit not being consistent with any structure that currently exists in our government. So I'm happy to provide that to you more in depth so that I can more clearly identify what I'm trying to discuss here. But to echo what other members of this committee have said, I think the consistency of terms is absolutely necessary for us moving forward.
Understandable. And there are some different supplementary schedules that can be added to the financial statements. That would be something that, of course, the nation would have to decide upon. At the end of the day, we assist in drafting the financials to try to assist the nation in ensuring that they meet the appropriate, accounting requirements. But if there are supplementary schedules that help better break down the budgeting process and budget to actual, that's a little easier for this group to digest and follow. That certainly can be explored to move that process easier.
Thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Budget to actual would be extremely helpful in the job that we do here in this branch of government. So that I'm going to have to write that word down. Thank you.
Any further discussion with the auditor? Okay. Mr. Dearland, thank you for your time today. I will distribute your contact information to the members of the committee, as well as to members of Congress, if they would like to contact you with any concerns they may have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. We will continue moving on. Next item on the agenda is review of summary monthly financials. This time I'd like to invite Treasurer Littleton and legal counsel to the table. My understanding is, Congresswoman Whitehorn, you had requested summary monthly financials. I don't have any document specific to a summary for you. We do have monthly financials that we are more than able to go over. So at this time, I guess I can turn the floor over to you for discussion of monthly financials.
Thank you, Congressman Chairman Potts. I'm working off experience, and that's what I can do. But the time I set as appropriations chair, I believe that we had some really good conversation, and we'd really, I think, made some advances around the table in reporting. And one of the requests I made of the treasurer at that time is if we could look at the monthly financials in summary. And they provided those for us several meetings, which to me, what we do here in Congress and as the Appropriation Committee is all I want to do. I want a high-level look of budgeted to actual monthly expenditures, be able to run my eyes down that column to see it instead of going page by page. And then if we need to take a deeper look at something that we don't understand, we could do so with the voluminous stack of revenue and expenditure sheets that we get. So as a member of the committee, I would still like to do our job on that very high level of being able to see a summary report. And I don't know that I've seen one in quite some time. So Treasurer Littleton, I'm asking, can we get monthlies or quarterlies even? I think maybe we were getting a quarterly in a summary report, how we have in the past. That's my question for you.
Treasurer Littleton.
I think one of my first meetings here is we went over that report, and when you were chairman of this committee, and I was brand new, and there were a lot of questions asked, and I know I had the deer in the headlight look, but you're correct, we haven't produced that report since you quit asking for it. So we did, and I have a copy of the quarterly that is presently unaudited. I'll be glad to give that to you if you want to look at it now. I added some handwritten notes at the bottom that I think are really important. And with your permission, Chairman Potts, I'd like to submit that at this time.
I will entertain a motion for a brief recess.
So moved.
Second.
We are in recess.
All right, so for submission of this document, thank you.
We're down to one clerk today.
Okay. Thank you, Treasurer Littleton. I think that this is a very helpful report for what I'd like to do at the table.